And let's read together Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. The Word of God says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Scriptures. It's an amazing book. Each word is powerful. We ask that you teach us this simple truth tonight. May it help us along our Christian life. May we continue to grow, always striving, always improving, always growing, always learning, and ever becoming more like Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Very simple thought tonight. Not going to have a deep Bible study. I want to give you one thought and then give you some tools to help with that thought. But these are great verses, and they're often overshadowed by the verses that come before. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14 are legendary in the Christian life for those who have been saved any length of time. But I feel like a lot of people often stop there. But of course, every word of God is pure. Every word matters. And it's a really interesting study, studying the verses around the verses that are common and looking at those. A lot of times they add weight or depth to the verses that we love so much. Think about John 3:16. If you study the verses around that, they're incredibly powerful, but often overlooked. And thus it is with verses 15 and 16, incredibly powerful verses, but yet they're often overlooked because they're next to these other amazing verses here in verses 10 through 14. But the Word of God says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." Now, remember, the word perfect in the New Testament usually doesn't speak of sinless perfection. None of us will be perfect this side of heaven, right? We don't believe in sinless perfection. We're all sinners. We're saved, but we're clothed in this sinful robe of flesh. One of these days we'll be glorified, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin, and we'll sin no more as we are with the Lord and we're like Him. Amen. But as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have that battle between the spirit and the flesh. And Romans 6, chapter 6, 7, and 8 talk about that. Galatians chapter 5. And the real key of winning that battle, the only key of winning that battle, is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So many Christians don't live Spirit-filled, so they constantly struggle, often losing the battle with the flesh, and sad things. So the Bible here, using this word perfect, is not speaking of sinless perfection. It's speaking of maturity or completeness. Let us therefore, as many as be mature in the Lord, as be thus minded. So we need to know what this mind is that he's talking about. So he's saying, listen, this is the mind you want to have, and this is the mind that mature people in Christ have. But we've got to go back to the preceding verses to find out what this mind is. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, those words "reaching forth" have that idea of striving. You know, we preached last Sunday night about things we're striving for. There are things in life that are worth the extra effort. They're worth the reach. They're worth the sacrifice. A lot of things people are living for and sacrificing for in this world are not worth the sacrifice they're costing. But some things are. And so we reach forth towards those things. But here this has this idea of striving. But what is he striving for? Is he striving here for fame? Is he striving for fortune? Is he striving for power, a position, authority? Now look at verse 14. The Bible defines itself: "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So he's pressing towards this spiritual mark. We're not going to go in tonight to what that mark is and the exact interpretation of this verse, but we certainly can use it for application tonight for the purposes of this message. So there is a striving, there is a pressing, and it is for a spiritual goal. Spiritual goals ought to be set in the life of a Christian. And so the Bible here is saying, verse 15 says, mature Christians have this mind. They have spiritual goals, the main goal being Christ, but they have spiritual goals that they are striving for, trying to be more like Christ, trying to be more spiritual. Carnal Christians have more worldly goals. And by worldly, I don't mean necessarily sinful. I just mean of the world. More temporary, a bigger house, a nicer car, all those things. And again, none of those things are wrong, but that's not worth living your life for outside of all the spiritual things. If you have spiritual goals, what you'll often find is that God can and will bless you with the temporal stuff too. That's the path you want to be on. The blessings that God gives as you're striving that journey, and praise the Lord. And you know what? Let's just say this. I don't envy people that have more than me. I just don't. Some people really struggle with that sin. It's not one that I typically struggle with. It's not one that my wife typically struggles with. But some people do. And it might be because I've worked hard to train myself. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the person watching somebody pull in the parking lot with a new car and being, oh. I don't want to be that person watching someone come in with a new suit or a new purse and be like, oh, wow, look at that. No, that's not who I am. I'm not jealous of my bosses. I'm thankful for a job. And so there's that mindset that you don't want to be that person so striving for material things, because it becomes a trap for you, and the love of money, and then the envy and the jealousy. Let's be content with such things as we have. Try this. The next time you see somebody get something you want, thank God on their behalf. God, I thank you that you're being good to them. I thank you that they got a new house. Lord, I thank you that they got a raise at work. Lord, I just want to tell you, I love that person, and I am grateful that they got that blessing. You know, it really does change the internal workings of yourself when you start, rather than saying, oh, why didn't I have that? No. That's not the calculation. Because as much as that that would be a blessing, I am pressing towards more spiritual goals. Now, if the temporal blessings come as we're seeking after spiritual goals, praise God. Amen? It's a blessing. But we also ought to be willing to throw all that aside for Christ. If he asked me to, I'd live in a hut in Africa. If he asked me to, I would walk up and down the mountains of South America to get the gospel to village people. You've got to hold on to the things of this life loosely. And what happens is if God does require that of you, the great blessings on the other end of that are extreme. But at the same time, if God allows you to be blessed materially in the pursuit of spiritual goals, then that's a great blessing, right? And then the Bible says, be careful to communicate. There are certain Bible commandments for those that have, and those would be applicable. But here the Bible's talking about verse 13, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What mind? Press toward the mark. Strive for spiritual things. Spiritually mature people are striving for the next level of Christ-likeness. We don't sit back and coast hoping that somehow, against our will, God's going to make me like Christ. That's not the way it works. We say, no, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus in the area of the home. I want to be like Jesus in the area of my finances. I want to be like Jesus in the area of how I deal with people. I want to be like Jesus in the area of ministry. And so we start setting goals. I can look at my own life and see my deficiencies. And I can say, Lord, I feel like that I want to be more like Christ in this area. And we begin to reach for those spiritual goals. Spiritually mature people set and strive for spiritual goals. let me just be honest with you. If you're sitting here today and you have no spiritual goals for 2018, you might have your spiritual life in neutral. And the devil wants us to believe that we can coast uphill. I guarantee you that if you're in neutral, you're going backwards. You may not know it yet, but you're going backwards. And so neutral's not an option. I remember one time as a teenager, I was learning how to drive a clutch. And you know how that is, those of you back, some of your teenagers are like, what's a clutch? You know, some of you kids. And you know, learning which feet to use and how much pressure to put on the gas as you're pulling off the clutch. And then every clutch is different, and some were really touchy and others seemed to just have a really long release. And so I was kind of stuck on a hill, and I was trying to go up this hill, but I was worried about going backwards because I wasn't giving the car enough gas, and I started to roll backwards. And so then I'd pop the clutch and not give it enough gas, and then it would die. And so I'm just putting on the brakes, and so then you put it in and start again, and okay, this time you're pushing out and putting on more on the gas, and this time you lurch forward, but now you're scared, so you pull off and the thing stalls. And so I remember being on this incline and thinking, I'm stuck. And you know what I found out very quickly is, you don't go forward in neutral. You say, what if you're going downhill? Don't be a smart aleck. All right? Life ain't downhill, in case you haven't noticed. Life's not downhill. The Christian life isn't downhill. And if you are going downhill briefly, thank God for it, because there's a bigger hill coming. Amen? And so you don't coast uphill. You got to put it in gear. You got to give it some gas, and you got to strive. And so spiritually mature people have spiritual goals. Look at the rest of verse 15. Let's read the whole verse again. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. So if you're here today and you don't get it, and you don't believe that spiritual people set spiritual goals, you don't understand this concept, the Bible's basically saying it's true, and we're just praying that God will reveal it to you. You'll figure it out someday that this is the truth. Nobody becomes like Jesus by accident. Nobody has a great marriage by accident. Nobody lives a holy life by accident. It's all got to be on purpose. And look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. So we're not going to get again into the interpretation of that. But the application is basically, do what you already know how to do. Just do what you already know how to do. How much better would Paul Chapman's life be if I just did what I knew I was supposed to do every day? I'd be awesome. I would be so awesome. But I'm not, alas. Think about how different your life would be if you just did what you knew you were supposed to do. And this is the admonition in Scripture. Just do it. It's not the things that we don't know about the Bible that are holding us back. It's the areas of disobedience where we know what to do, but we refuse. And it's not anybody else's fault. It's not the kid's fault. It's not the spouse's fault. It's not the boss's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not your friend's fault. It's not the other church member's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. Because you are in control of your life with the measure of control God's given you. Take ownership. Realize that God's given you some decisions to make in your life. He's given you the power and the wisdom to make the right ones. And we've got to do what we know to do. And when we do, things get better. When we don't, things get worse. Do you agree with that? So here's the basic message. Do what you know how to do, and then on top of that, choose some spiritual goals that you're striving for to gain new ground. You know, the Super Bowl is happening tonight, and I don't know who's going to win. I will tell you this, the more I learned about the Eagles, they've got a lot of born-again Christians on their team. A lot of born-again Christians. I just saw this afternoon, I haven't watched any footage on purpose about the Super Bowl all week long. But I did watch a little bit this afternoon, and Nick Foles was talking about how he almost retired, and he felt like the Lord led him to continue. And Tony Dungy, who's also a Christian, he was a player and a coach, and now he's a commentator, he's a Christian. He was talking about how Nick Foles told him the Lord's been leading him, and he's trying to do what the Lord wants. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm all for that. And Carson Wentz is a Christian. I don't hear about any regular weekly Bible studies on the team of the Patriots going on each week. There's enough born-again Christians on that team where they get together and have weekly Bible studies together. And not the practice team. I'm talking about the stars, the big-name players. And so I'm praying that God will just give us one more championship, just one more in spite of that. They can win next year and the year after. You know, and as we're talking about the Super Bowl, those teams aren't there by accident. They worked hard to get there. They made some changes to get there. They were talking about Butler, who is on the Patriots and a good in the secondary, and they were talking about how he was not only undrafted, but he grew up working in a Popeye's chicken restaurant, making chicken. And he always used to tell people, I'm going to be in the NFL someday, and they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to play in the NFL one of these days, whatever. All right, Marvin, whatever. He's playing in the NFL today. He was undrafted, which means it was a lot harder for him. You think he didn't have any goals to get there? You think these players like Brady, who's playing into his 40s, and it's funny to hear other players talk about him, they want to eat what he's eating, they want to find out what he's doing to stay healthy, because he has a plan, he has some goals. And all I'm saying is, listen, they're talking about the Winter Olympics coming up. You think those people don't have goals to be in the Olympics? Everywhere around us in our world, successful people are setting goals, reaching for things, making adjustments along the way. Do we really believe that as Christians, with everything that's stacked against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we're going to be successful in the Christian life and in ministry if we're not even trying? Or if we're just flailing around? I don't want to tread water, metaphorically speaking. I want to have some kind of goal at the end where I am swimming towards that goal. I want to be making headway. And that happens through these spiritual goals. I'm striving. I'm reaching forth. I'm forgetting the things of the past. Watch this. Forget your past victories. Maybe you used to be awesome. Are you awesome today? Maybe you used to be a great prayer warrior. Are you a prayer warrior today? Maybe you used to be a great soul winner, a great bus worker. Are you today? A lot of people living in the glory days. Well, I used to. And hey, let me tell you about 20, 30 years ago. Hey, let me tell you, what about today? In order to keep striving, you've got to not be complacent with the victories that you've had. But let me also say that means you forget your defeats. Forget all the times you failed. Forget the times where you've blown up. Forget the times where you really tried and you fell short. Because today's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. You're indwelt by the Holy Ghost. His power is at hand. He wants you to succeed. The Holy Ghost is conforming you into the image of Christ. Forget your victories. Forget your failures. And press on toward the mark. That's good advice for all of us. And so these spiritual goals, so necessary. Do you have any spiritual goals for 2018? Some people have totally given up on goals because they don't know what a goal is. A goal is not a wish. A goal is not a dream. You can say, I want to be like Jesus. That's a wish. That's a dream. But in a couple minutes, in just literally minutes, I'm going to show you how to make that into a goal that you can achieve step by step. Saying, I want to pray better, or I want to pray more, that's a wish. It's a dream. I want to lose weight. It's a dream. For me. No, most people, that's one of the most often made resolutions, and it fails. Did you know that only about 8% of people follow through with their New Year's resolutions? That's because most resolutions are hopes and dreams, but we call them goals, and that's discouraging. And tonight I'm going to give you a few words that are going to help you understand how to make a goal and then apply these spiritually. And then you can set some spiritual goals and strive. Keep doing what you're doing and strive. Now, normally I don't have you take notes during preaching. If you do, I usually don't get on to you. But if you got a piece of paper and a pen tonight, you might want to write these words down. Because I'm going to teach you in just about 5 minutes how to make a goal and what's the difference between a goal and a wish and a dream. I'm going to give you an acronym tonight that is helpful. All right, so let me say number one, a real goal is specific. Some of this isn't new, some of it may be to you, but a real goal is specific. If it's not specific, you won't know if you've reached it. If you can't define it, you can't achieve it. Right? So it's specific. Tell yourself exactly what you want to happen, or get from the Lord exactly what He wants you to do. All right, next, the goal must be measurable. It's got to be measurable. There has to be a way for you to tell if you're making progress or not. So, okay, I want to be a better prayer. That's noble. It's spiritual. What does that look like? How do I know if I'm becoming a better prayer warrior? How do I know if I'm not as good a prayer warrior as I used to be? There has to be some metric or way to measure these things so that we can know if we're making progress and we can know when we have succeeded. All right, so we've got the S, specific. We've got the M, measurable. I write these down, then I'm going to show you the application. And you can, once you learn the formula, you can do this in any area. All right, next it has to be actionable. Powerful goals are based upon action. We want to always be moving the ball up the field. Nobody's going to win the Super Bowl tonight if every time they get it, they get three downs and punt. That's the way a lot of people live. Three downs and punt. I'll try again next time. Three downs and punt. I'll try again next time. One man said, if you're tired of starting over, stop quitting. Think about that. You ever heard someone say, I'm so tired of starting over? Well, stop quitting. Push through the hard stuff. Get on the other side of that. All right, so it's got to be actionable. And so this is where we use action words for our goals. So we don't want to say, use words like be or have. Be a better Christian. Have a better prayer life. We want to start a goal with a verb that's actionable. So rather than have a better prayer life, is pray every day. See the difference? It's subtle in language, but it's powerful in action. All right, so it's actionable. Next, it's got to be a little bit risky. This goal ought to take you outside of your comfort zone. Now, it shouldn't be crazy. I'm going to win 1 million people to the Lord in 2018. That's not risky, that's delusional. All right? I'm going to lose 314 pounds. Well, you only weigh 150, so that's probably not going to happen. But sometimes people get so excited about goals. Man, I'm going to. No, you're not. Just let it be risky. It ought to take you out of your comfort zone. And here's the truth. Studies tell us nowadays that it's actually easier to reach a risky goal because it makes you put in the extra work and effort than it is to reach an easy one. It's easier if you have weight to lose. I'm not talking about if you have like 2% body fat. But if you have weight to lose, it's actually easier to lose 10 pounds than 5 pounds. Because 5 pounds, you cheat more often. Because, well, it's only 5 pounds. And so I can cheat here, I'll make it up later. But if you're trying to lose 50 pounds, you're like, whoa, I got a lot of work to do here. I can't cheat for a while. And so the riskier the goal, if it's right and proper, it demands more sacrifice, more attention. All right? Some teams this year said, I want to make it to the playoffs. Some teams said, I want to win the Super Bowl. That change in the risk of their goal I guarantee you affected their practices and their time during the week. And thus it is with the Christian. All right, next, they have to be timed. Powerful goals are time keyed. Achievement goals usually have a due date. I'm going to do this by this date. Habit goals, where you're trying to get in the habit of doing something repeatedly, usually has a start date and a street goal. So I want to pray every day for 90 days. And you're just going to track that. See how that's a lot better than have a better prayer life. And so now we're creating these powerful goals, but now we're also making them into spiritual goals. All right, then last two, the goal should be exciting. It's got to be something that's worth the effort. It's got to be something that you look at and say, man, if I could accomplish this, if I could become a better prayer warrior, if I could become a better soul winner, if I could teach a Sunday school class, if I could become a bus worker, if I could be like Jesus in the home, man, what would that mean to me? It's got to be something that gets you a little excited and gets the blood boiling a little bit and says, man, this is worth the effort. This is worth the time. So exciting goals. It should breathe a little excitement into your life. And then lastly, it's got to be relevant. All right, relevant. So that means a couple things. First, it has to align with your core values. As a Christian, I'm not going to try to be the best drug dealer in Wakefield. Right? I could if I wanted to. I mean, I know I could. No, I'm kidding. But that doesn't align with my core values. Right? That's not who I want to be. So don't set goals that are outside of your Christian faith. Don't set goals that conflict with who you know Christ is and who you ought to be. And then secondly, it ought to be relevant to your stage of life. If you have young kids at home, probably setting a goal that you're going to pray 2 hours a day isn't really relevant for your area of life. Right? Saying that you're going to get up at 4:30 a.m. and pray for 3 hours when you have a new baby in the home, you don't even know if you're going to go to bed by 4:30. And so you have to kind of be conscious of where you're at in life. And this is where it's another lesson. But that's where routines can really help. So if you set up your life by routine, it's not necessarily time keyed. And we had to learn this when Sarah got sick because my schedule went out the window for many years. I didn't know if I was going to bed at 10 p.m. or midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. I didn't know. But what you can do is you can set certain routines that, okay, whatever time I do get up, here's what that's going to look like. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to pray, read the Bible if the kids are still asleep. And if not, I'm going to work that out. I'm going to feed. And so you begin to put things in order. And that way, no matter what time of life it happens or what time of day it happens, you've kind of got a set routine that you can get into. So I have a morning routine that I try to follow every day. I have an evening routine that I'm trying to instill. And it doesn't really matter the time as much as the routine, although I am in a place now where I can be more time keyed as well. All right. So this makes the acronym SMARTER. SMARTER. And so what does this look like? All right. So speaking of stewardship, I want to save money. How many of you have ever said that in your life? I want to save money. Well, what does that look like? How do you save money? Well, how about this for a goal? And this goal fits all of those criteria. Create, notice it starts with a verb, so there's something I can do. Create a family budget and begin using the cash envelope system for purchases instead of a debit or credit card by January 15th. That's something I can do. I create the budget. I have a start day, I have a street goal, and then I want to do this. By the way, one of the best things you can do for your finances is get rid of those crazy credit cards and debit cards. The money's so hard to track, right? Here's one. You want to read the Bible more. How about this? Read the Bible through this year, reading 4 chapters every day at the kitchen table at 7 a.m. See how much more powerful that is? I'm going to read the Bible every day. Okay, where are you going to read it? When are you going to read it? How much are you going to read? What a goal becomes is a goal is like a dream with steps to it. I take my dream or whatever I want to happen and I begin to say, who, what, when, where, why, how am I going to make this happen? All right, so I want to be a better soul winner. What does that mean? How about you say, I pass out one track every day for the next 90 days? That's doable, right? Or how about you say, I witness to 3 people every week? And if you haven't witnessed to them by Saturday at noon, you stop whatever you're doing, you go to the store, you go to the gas station, you find people to witness to. That's doable. And that's trackable. That's measurable. It's exciting to be able to do that. Now, this also happens when you're working with other people, okay? So your children won't clean the room, right? All of us parents could use that. So what about whatever day off you have or whatever day is convenient? You're going to clean your room to my specifications by Saturday at 10 a.m. If you clean your room by Saturday at 10 a.m., here's your reward. If your room's not clean by Saturday at 10 a.m., here's the punishment. Isn't that better than saying to your kids, I've told you for the 10th time, go clean your room! What I'm trying to talk to you tonight is, don't miss what I'm saying. A mature Christian does what he knows, sets powerful goals, but goals are not wishes. Goals are not dreams. They're specific, they're measurable, they're actionable. What's the R? Anybody remember? Risky. All right, the T. Time-keyed. The E. Exciting. Wouldn't it be exciting for your kids to have a clean room? Wouldn't it be exciting for you at the end of 2018 to be able to get a certificate saying, hey, I read my Bible through? Wouldn't it be exciting for you to walk into church this week and because you've prayed this week like you've always wished you had, you can look at people and think, I prayed for them and I prayed for them and I prayed for them and I prayed for them. And man, wouldn't that be a great way to live? It's exciting. And then relevant. It's got to be relevant for your stage of life. Here's my challenge to you this week. Very simple. Do an inventory in your life just real quick. What are the top 3 things that you know you should be doing but you're not? And then what is one spiritual goal that you're going to ask God to help you set? And you're going to try to accomplish that goal in the next month, 2 months, 3 months, or the next year. And then stay on it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we take these things. And this could be just a life-changing message, as simple as it is. But I pray that we would have not just worldly goals, but specific goals. And help us to take an accounting of our spiritual lives and strive to be more like Thee. Maybe we want to memorize more Scripture. Oh, what does that look like? When are we going to memorize it? How are we going to memorize it? How are we going to choose the verses? And set up some smarter goals so we can memorize the word like we want to. In any area of our lives, we can take this to better ourselves and become more like Thee. We pray that You'd bless the time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand. As the piano plays, the altar is open. You come. Think about this. You want to